It's Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner. We're talking about the uninsured in Colorado with Pamela Haynes, President and CEO of the Colorado Health Institute. Also with us is Carrie Curtis, Associate Director of the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative, and Craig Burleson, CEO of the Inner City Health Center in Denver. I wonder if there is a gap here. I mean, the gap between those who can afford insurance and those who qualify for state or federal programs to help them with health care. Are there people that are in that gap or that think they're in that gap that actually qualify for services, Pam?
Well, certainly with children, and I think Carrie could speak to this quite well also. With children, our numbers are about 180,000 kids in Colorado right now who are uninsured. And when we estimated how many of those children actually are currently eligible for the Medicaid program and the state health insurance program for children, which goes up a little higher at the income level, we found about 108,000 to 10,000 of those children are already eligible and just not enrolled in the program. So there is definitely a gap in coverage for adults who qualify for public programs who are uninsured, but the majority of our kids are eligible for public health insurance and simply are not enrolled.
Carrie Curtis, on that note, do you agree?
Absolutely. We've looked at the numbers for the Children's Health Plan, which is, as Pam said, the health insurance program for low-income children. And we know that around 50% of the children who are actually income eligible for that program are not enrolled. So I think one of the big policy questions is, why aren't those kids enrolled? Where are they? And how can we better reach out to them to get them enrolled?
I wonder, Craig Burleson, if over the years you've been practicing, the nature of who is uninsured has changed. I mean, has that been an evolution?
Yes, I think as the cost of health insurance rises, then it's pushing more and more people out of the insured category. The dynamic of our economy is really odd right now. The cost of living is increasing. Benefits cost us more. Salaries aren't increasing in the same rate as expenditures are. And so I think for us at Inner City Health Center, we are seeing a new segment of the population coming to us who was previously insured. Pam's point was very correct. I mentioned middle income, but a lot of them may be upper, lower income. So, yes, we are seeing a new dimension of people. Interestingly enough, a couple of years ago, I got my first email message asking us about our services, and I was taken aback by that someone would email me, because what it said to me was, there is a new person out here, another level of individual who is in need of our services that we weren't aware of beforehand. They are computer literate, they have access, but they too are in need of these services, and we need to readjust our thinking to be prepared to accommodate them as well.
Carrie Curtis, again, you head up the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative. From the consumer angle, let's talk about some of the reasons some Coloradans don't have health insurance. We've heard about rising premiums. Is that the major contributor here? What do you see as the factors?
That is the major contributor, and we get calls every day in our office from people who are uninsured because they couldn't afford the insurance that their employer offered, and then some, you know, who cannot qualify for public programs, so they're caught exactly in that gap that you were talking about. So that is the major driver, the cost.
And this may be a cart and horse question, but what's driving the premiums up and then creating the uninsured problem? What's behind that?
That's a great question for Pam at the Health Institute, but there are a number of cost drivers. You know, we have an aging population. We have new medical technologies all the time. Pharmaceutical costs are high, so there are a number of different cost drivers.
Pam, just briefly on that, what would you point to as maybe top two goals?
I guess I would add to what Carrie said by saying that we have this circuitous problem that as the numbers of uninsured rise, and certain health care providers, particularly hospitals, are serving more and more uninsured, what they would call uncompensated care patients, where they either have to write off the cost of a catastrophic visit or a high-cost hospitalization as charity care, or they try to work out some arrangement with the individual. those dollars don't just go away. That uncompensated charity care doesn't just get absorbed into the system. What actually happens is those costs then get passed on to the people who do have health insurance. So you have this cycle of cost shifting from those who can't pay to those who still have the ability to pay, and then that increases the insurance premium for those who do provide and accept coverage.
Craig Burleson?
I'd like to add to piggyback to what Pam said about the hospitals, because one area of access is the emergency department for just about anyone. And the cost of emergency care is the most expensive there is. It's the most expensive to the individual. It's the most expensive to the system. And that cost, as Pam already stated, is passed along. It doesn't disappear. The hospitals don't simply absorb it or write it off. They pass it along to the insurance companies, who pass it along to their insured. In fact, one of our focuses at Inner City Health Center is to keep people out of the emergency room.
Preventative care, as opposed to waiting to the point where it gets so bad they've got to go to the ER. Carrie Curtis, according to a study by the Kaiser Family Foundation, more people are opting for bare-bones health plans. So I guess somewhere in the middle of insured and uninsured are people who are choosing these plans that don't have as high premiums. How much better off are they than folks who don't have any insurance at all? I mean, let's just compare and contrast a bit.
That's the real question. You know, we're seeing more people who are choosing these bare-bones plans and more employers who are offering that to employees. So what does that mean for consumers? Well, it means they're at greater financial risk because they have very high deductibles. They often cover fewer services. So it leaves consumers holding the bag should they have a medical emergency. There was a recent study by the Commonwealth Fund that said 45 million people were actually uninsured, which we know, but an additional 16 million adults were underinsured. And I think that's a really important figure for us all to look at as we move towards these bare-bone plans.
When we talk about bare-bone plans, what kind of deductibles? Give me maybe an example. If someone, I don't know, winds up having a cancer, or what would be a situation in which that bare-bones plan gets someone into trouble?
Well, the deductibles can be very high, you know, above, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars for your deductible that the consumer just has to pay out of pocket should they have a medical event. But bare bones can also mean that the insurance policy doesn't cover things like prescription drugs or hospitalization, or it insures around the service that you need. So, you know, should you need hospitalization, which can be incredibly expensive, you are at out-of-pocket risk for having to pay for that entire amount.
If I can bring in one more study into the discussion, Harvard University has found about 50% of the nation's bankruptcies are due to health care. Is that something that you're seeing in Colorado?
We are. And, you know, at the same time, the federal government made it more difficult to declare bankruptcy. An interesting thing about that study that you referenced is when you look at the fact that, you know, nearly 50% of all personal bankruptcies are due to medical costs, a high percentage within that population actually had insurance at the time that they became ill. So I think that speaks to these bare-bone plans and the lack of protection for consumers.
So the assumption that if you declared bankruptcy because of health care costs, you were uninsured is inaccurate.
Exactly.
Pamela Haynes, compared to other states, how does Colorado fare when it comes to number of uninsured?
When we did our last study, we found a little over 17% of the population was uninsured. During that same time period, if you contrast that to national figure was about 15. We're certainly doing less well in terms of covering our kids. 11% nationally, 14% of the children of Colorado uninsured. And a lot of this has to do with the leanness of our public health programs, Medicaid in particular. There are some states that are models for coverage that have been quite aggressive about coverage. Minnesota, Vermont, Massachusetts is the one that we hear about these days, where the Republican administration, Democratic legislature got together and said, we want to make sure everyone in Massachusetts has access to coverage. So we could be doing better.
Well, I'd like to thank all of you for being with us. We appreciate your time and your comments.
And thank you again, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. It was a pleasure.
Pamela Haynes is president and CEO of the Colorado Health Institute. Carrie Curtis is Associate Director of the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative, and Craig Burleson is CEO of the Inner City Health Center in Denver. As part of our ongoing series on the uninsured in Colorado, we'll be talking with employers, representatives of the insurance industry, and we'll look at possible solutions. Next week, we're joined by Dr. Jim Todd. He co-authored a recent study of Colorado children who are uninsured or on public insurance.
This is sort of a bad news, good news study. The bad news is that publicly insured children or children with no insurance have worse hospitalization outcomes, and in the end, it costs a lot more. But the good news is that that means that there's a business case for doing it better.
Uninsured and underinsured children, that's next week on Colorado Matters. I'm Ryan Warner, and this is KCFR.